Chernalif Studios presents 186 Rules for Ramadan.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. In the name of Allah, the Most Gracious, the Most Merciful. Praise be to Allah, the One and Only One, to whom we turn for help and from whom we seek forgiveness and repentance. It is in Allah we seek refuge against the evil of ourselves and our bad deeds. I bear witness that He is the only one, the Almighty Allah, the worthy of worship. And I bear witness that His Messenger, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam, is His slave and His last messenger. Dear brothers and sisters, inshallah today, I will be talking about Ramadan and the rulings related to this blessed month. And there is no doubt that knowing about this subject is very important for every Muslim, man or woman, for the greatness and the specialty of this month in the life of every Muslim, and because of the great acts of worship we do in this month, especially fasting, which is one of the pillars of Islam. My lecture will be divided into three parts. Every part includes, inshallah, a number of issues that every Muslim should know, so he or she can worship his Creator with knowledge. For one of the biggest problems, brothers and sisters, that the Muslims' ummah are facing today is that our acts of worship are treated like inherited traditions related to our countries, fathers, grandfathers, how they did it, so we just follow their footsteps, even if it wasn't according to the sunnah of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For that reason, I want to share with my brothers and sisters today this topic, which include a big number of Islamic rulings relating to the things that Muslims face in the month of Ramadan. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide me and all of us to say what is correct and to act upon it. The three parts that our topic will be about, inshallah, are the first part, rulings related to the month itself. The second part, rulings related to the worship of fasting. The third part, rulings related to the other acts of worship done in Ramadan beside fasting. We will start, inshallah, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's help, the first part, which is ruling concerning the month of Ramadan. And before I begin, I would like to note that, inshallah, when I talk about the fiqh rulings, I wouldn't go into much details because of the time, and most of the time I will mention the strongest opinion. Point number one, what does Shahr Ramadan, month of Ramadan, mean? The month in Sharia, in Islam, is the cycle of the moon, and it is either 29 days or 30 days. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "The month is like this, like this, like this." He signaled with his hand 29 or 30. The word month in Arabic is shahr, which comes from the word shahara, or ishtihar, which means to be famous, popular, or well-known. It was called Shahr because it is famous and known among people because they see its beginning and end. As for the word Ramadan, it comes from the word Ramada, والرمض شدة الحر, which is the strong heat of the sun. And it was called Ramadan because when the Arab named the months, they choose names that are related to places or conditions or occasions that happened during that month. When they wanted to name the month, it was extremely hot, so they named it Ramadan. Point number two, the beginning of the month of Ramadan is determined by the sighting of the moon or the completing of the month of Sha'ban 30 days. Sha'ban is the month before Ramadan. Ibn Umar radiallahu anh narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Fast after you have seen it, the new moon, and end the fast at the end of the month when you see it. If it is hidden from you, then wait until the 30 days of Sha'ban have passed. This is related by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, and in another narration, which is narrated by Abu Hurairah radiallahu anh, that the Prophet ﷺ said, complete Sha'ban 30 days. Number 3, can a person use binoculars or telescope to sight the moon? Shaykh Al-Uthaymeen rahimahullah was asked this question, and he said, yes, it is permissible, and it was very common to find people in the old days use the same method to sight the moon from the minarets of the masjids. Number 4, the report or witness of sighting the moon is accepted only from a one trustworthy, truthful Muslim who knows about the moon, its phases, and its sighting. The Prophet ﷺ fasted by the sighting of the moon by Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, and fasted in another Ramadan when a Bedouin told him that he sighted the moon, which was mentioned in Hadith Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu and reported by Abi Dawud and Tirmidhi. And it has been narrated by Dharqutni that Ali ibn Abi Talib radiallahu anhu also accepted the witness of a Bedouin for the starting of the month. This is the madhab of majority of the scholars, that one trustworthy Muslim who knows about the moon, its phases, and its sighting will be sufficient to determine the beginning of the month. Except for Imam Malik rahimahullah, his opinion is that it has to be sighted by two main witnesses. And the Hanafi scholars go by the witness of two men, if it's cloudy or if they had doubt about the witness of someone. Number 5. The end of the month of Ramadan and the beginning of Eid al-Fitr is determined by the sighting of the moon of Shawwal, which is the month after Ramadan, or completing of 30 days of Ramadan. Witness of sighting has to be by two trustworthy Muslims men. And this is the opinion of majority of the scholars of fiqh. A few scholars, such as Ash-Shawkani, Ibn al-Mundhir, Abi Thawr, had a different opinion. They said that the witnesses of one trustworthy Muslim's man determines the starting of Eid, and there is no difference between determining the beginning of the month of Ramadan or the beginning of the month of Shawwal. Number 6. It is not permissible to determine the start of a month by astronomical calculations. As it has been reported in Sahih al-Bukhari and Muslim, that the Prophet ﷺ said, we are an illiterate ummah, nation. We don't write or calculate. So fast after you have seen it, the new moon, and end the fast at the end of the month when you see it. Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah said, depending on calculations in sighting the moon, as it is a deviance and innovations in religion, it is also considered wrong by logic. Al-Imam al-Shafi'i rahimahullah, before that, mentioned in Ahkam al-Quran that the starting of the month is determined by moon and not by calculation. Calculation is wrong, for it is the way of the Persian and the Romans, the non-Muslims nations. That leads me to the next point. Why don't we use calculations, as it is considered today to be more accurate? I can answer this question by mentioning few points. Firstly, because it is contradicting the clear hadith, the clear statement of the Prophet ﷺ when he stated, fast due to its sighting and break the fast due its sighting. Secondly, Islam's rules are good for all times and places, brothers and sisters. For Sharia doesn't put a condition that the people of the 20th century can get and others of earlier or later generations cannot. Or conditions that the people who live in a country that is developed technologically can get and others cannot. It's a general ruling that is for every Muslim, for ones who live in the desert or the city, ones who live in the 20th century, the 2nd century, or the 30th century. So the sighting of moon is good for everyone at all times and at all places. And that what is unique about our religion. Thirdly, going by calculations, eliminate the sunnah of sighting the moon. For sighting the moon and looking for it is in itself an act of worship. It should not be ignored or neglected. Ibn Umar and Ibn Abbas and others have narrated that the people at the Prophet ﷺ time would go out to sight the moon, and it continued that way as centuries went. Fourthly, depending on calculations and knowing the starting of the month of Ramadan makes it dawl with no specialty. Brothers and sisters, what we do before the start of Ramadan, calling the Islamic Center or the Imam and asking if the next day is Ramadan or not, is in itself an act of worship and gives us feeling of the specialty of this month and a difference between it and the other months. And this is expected, or else Ramadan would be like other months, which we know it's beginning and end by looking at our calendars. Fifthly, astronomy at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba radiallahu anhum was known and occurred too. That is why Al-Imam al-Shawkani and Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah before that and others mention a number of astronomers and that their calculations almost fit today's calculations. From the number of the days of the year and its months, etc. Even with all that, the Prophet ﷺ, the Sahaba, and their successors didn't turn to it. Even though it was considered accurate, just as we see it today. It is necessary that we treat it the way our righteous predecessors treated it, by not considering it in the issue of determining the starting and the ending of the month, and depend on it for determining when to do act of worship, such as fasting and Hajj. Point number 8. In this case, a question might be raised. Does Islam reject astronomical calculations? And what does the hadith, we are an illiterate nation, we don't write and we don't calculate, mean? The answer for that we should know Islam doesn't reject the science of astronomy. The Quran encouraged to look at the universe and what is in it, and to use it as a proof of Allah's greatness and His unique and magnificent creation. And we do consider astronomical calculations in things like calculating the time of prayer and things like that. But when it comes to the issue of determining the start and the end of the month of Ramadan, the Prophet ﷺ has cancelled using calculations. For he said, we do not write, we do not calculate. He means that we don't consider calculation and writing in determining the start and end of the month. And he gave us the alternative, fast when you sight the moon. Other than that, we are a literate nation that writes and calculates. One of the names of Quran is the book. And the Prophet ﷺ had writers who will write down what he recited from the Quran. And sometimes he might order them to write some of his statements. What is meant in the hadith is the determining the start and the end of the month should not be based on calculation or writing, for the reasons I mentioned previously. Number 9. One of the Shafi'i scholars, his name is As-Subki, said that a witness of sighting can be rejected by astronomical calculations. And brothers and sisters, I want you to focus on this point and listen carefully, because it is a very delicate issue. Basically, what Shafi'i scholar said, if someone claimed that they saw the moon and astronomers said that it's impossible, the person's claim is rejected. But on the other hand, the astronomer's saying is not taken for determining the sighting of the moon, meaning that if they say that it can be seen on that day, then their saying is not enough for us to determine the sighting of the moon, unless someone sights the moon in that day. Anyway, this statement was known even before As-Subki rahimahullah's time. And the scholars mentioned this opinion, but they refuted it. But recently, this opinion was adopted and been supported by so many recent students of knowledge and scholars and organizations. For instance, in the United States, one of the organizations who goes by this opinion is the Islamic Society of North America, ISNA, which is one of the biggest organizations for Muslims in the West. But anyhow, this issue has two aspects. First, that someone claims that he has seen the moon 2 or 3 days before the beginning of the month. For this is wrong. And I don't know if this ever happening or anyone saying this, and it would be rejected by everyone. The second aspect, to turn back a witness of a sighting because astronomers, with their calculations, say that it is impossible to see the moon at the time after the moon was born because of the daylight. In this matter, we will say, the correct opinion is that if a trustworthy Muslim man who knows about the moon and its sighting witness it, then we have to accept his witness and go by it. Brothers and sisters, listen to what Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah said. I have seen people in their month of fasting and in other months too. He meant by month of fasting, the month of Ramadan. Some of them listen to what some ignorant astronomers say, that the moon can be sighted or not sighted. And they go by that. And it has reached me that some judges reject the witness of some trustworthy men because of the saying that the moon cannot be seen. So he would be denying the truth. And this judge becomes from the ones whom the Quran said about them that they listen to lies and accept it. What you heard from Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah ta'ala remind me of incident happened here in the United States several years ago that so many brothers, they sighted the moon and they are trustworthy brothers and they are familiar with sighting the moon, but their witnesses were rejected because the astronomers said the moon was born, but it's impossible for a person to see the moon in that day. Listen to what Ibn Miflih rahimahullah said, and he is a great scholar. If the people of a country sight the moon, then everyone has to fast. And sighting it during the day is possible. It means when there is a daylight, it's possible. For something in the weather might happen that lessens the brightness of the sun. Or the one who sights the moon has a very strong eyesight. So what I will recommend my brothers and sisters, that they should do the same what the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to do, and to follow the same method the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam followed by sighting the moon and depending on sighting the moon only. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala guide all of us to the truth. Number 10. Does sighting the moon in one country make it obligatory for all Muslims in different countries to fast? Or does every country have its own sighting? This has been an issue of difference between the people of the knowledge from the past and in the present. The majority of scholars of fiqh from Malikiya and Hanabila and Al-Ahnaf say that the sighting of the moon in one country make it obligatory upon all other countries to begin their fast. As the Prophet ﷺ has said, fast due to its sighting and break the fast due to its sighting. And this is a statement from the Prophet ﷺ for the whole ummah. As for the Shafi'i scholars and al-muhaqqiqeen min ahli al-ilm, the examiners, investigators from the Ahnaf and some of the Hanabila, such as Shaykh al-Islam bin Taymiyyah rahimahullah, they say that every country has its own sighting. Al-Imam Abd al-Barr, he's a great imam, he's Maliki, he said it has been agreed upon that the sighting is not considered in countries that are very distant from each other, like Khorasan and Al-Andalus, Spain and Iran. And for every country is its own sighting, except for the big and close countries of the Muslims. Al-Imam al-Qurtubi, and he is another great Maliki scholar, said, if the countries are close, then the ruling is, if one country sighted the moon, everybody should follow them. One sighting, sufficient for all of them. But if they are far from each other, then for every country is its own sighting. Also, well-known and famous opinion, the Hanafi Madhab, and the chosen opinion among the Shafi'i, every country is to take into consideration its own sighting, and not necessarily to follow the sighting of others. This based on the narration of Quraib, which is reported by Imam Muslim. He said, while I was in Sham, the new moon of Ramadan appeared on Thursday night. I returned to Medina at the end of the month. There Ibn Abbas asked me, when did you people see the moon? I said, we saw it on Thursday night. He said, did you see it yourself? I said, yes, the people saw it. And Muawiyah, the Amir in Sham, fasted. Sham, it could be Syria or Palestine. Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu said, but we saw it on Friday night. So here there's one day different. We will not stop fasting until we complete 30 days or until we see the new moon. Quraib said, isn't Muawiyah's sighting and fasting sufficient for you? Ibn Abbas said, no. This is the order of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I'm wondering, brothers and sisters, if you got the point from this hadith or not. Now, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu in Medina, they have not seen the new moon of Shawwal, which is the month comes after Ramadan. They are in the 28th of Ramadan. So next day, they are in the 29th of Ramadan. So next day can be Eid, can be the 30th of Ramadan for them. But for the people in Sham, the next day is the first day of Shawwal. Because you remember, Ibn Abbas said they have seen the moon on Friday night. But in Sham, they saw it Thursday night. So basically, if they follow Muawiyah radiallahu anhu and the people of Sham, that means they have completed the month of Ramadan 30 days. And they should determine the Eid next day. But since they're not supposed to follow other country sighting, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu didn't follow Muawiyah and the people of Sham, and they didn't follow their sighting. On the other hand, they follow what they have seen themselves. Anyway, Al-Imam al-Tirmidhi rahimahullah comment on this hadith by saying, most of the scholar go by this hadith. He meant by that, most of the scholar, they said, every country is to take into consideration its own sighting and not necessarily to follow the sighting of others. In any case, I advise the Muslims in America, especially in America, in the West in general, that they should go by the advice of Shaykhana Shaykh Muhammad al-Salih al-Uthaymeen, rahimahullah ta'ala, that it is necessary to be united and to choose one of these two opinions and go by it. Because we have seen a lot of difference and disagreement, and sometimes it reached to fights and animosity and breaking the unity of Muslims in this country. Whereas Muslims, they do not have a leader who determine the beginning of the month of Ramadan and the end of it. Therefore, brothers and sisters, it's not allowed at all for Muslims who are living in one city to have two different Eids or to have two different days to start the month of Ramadan. Therefore, the Muslims leaders in the city, the imams of the masjids, they should come together and choose one of these two opinions. And in this case, we will unite our Muslim brothers and sisters in the beginning of Ramadan, in the Eid, and we will not see what we are seeing today in the Muslim communities. Brothers and sisters, wallahi, it hurts me a lot when I see a small group of people, they will declare their Eid and their Ramadan different than the majority of the community. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us that Ramadan begin when the Muslims start fasting, and Eid will begin when Muslims will end their fasting. So whenever the majority of Muslims agree upon one opinion, everybody should follow this opinion. I asked Sheikh Ibn Uthaymeen once, what if the city I'm living in, they following the astronomical calculations? Should I follow them too? He said, if they are the majority in your city, you should go with them. And he mentioned to me that Shaykh al-Islam rahimahullah had a fatwa in this regard. He was asked by one Muslim who live in a place where people determine the Eid based on astronomical calculations. And he answered that person by advising him to go with the majority of the people in his town. Dear brothers and sisters, unity is one of the ultimate goal of Sharia. And this unity is one of the ultimate goal of the shaitan. So by breaking the unity of our community, we open a great opportunity for the shaitan to lead us astray. I hope this advice will reach my brother's hearts, and that all the Muslims leaders, especially in the West, will realize the responsibility that they have committed themselves for, and to remember that they will be asked about their communities in the Day of Judgment when they will stand before Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. كلكم راع وكلكم مسؤول عن رعيته. And inshallah, I wish that every city start with itself by agreeing on following one of the opinions of the scholars. Then that will extend to the state, then in future, the whole United States, insha'Allahu ta'ala. Rule number 11. What if a Muslim lives in a city where there are no Islamic centers or Muslims? What does he do? In this situation, he tries to sight the moon himself. And if he's not good at sighting the moon, or he doesn't know how to do it, then he follows the closest Islamic center to the city. And if the whole country doesn't have someone who can sight the moon, then they should follow the closest Islamic country. What if the Islamic centers or the masjids, they have different opinions about determining the start of the month or Eid al-Fitr? Which Islamic center he should go by if there is no majority? I asked Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen rahimahullah this question, and he told me that the person should follow the Islamic center he prays in. And if his masjid divides from the majority of the masjid in his country or city, then he goes by the majority. Point number 12. Do the people follow the sighting of Saudi Arabia and the people of Mecca and Ramadan? The correct opinion is that their sighting is for their own country and who lives in it. As for the rest of the countries, they go by the opinion of their own country. So if they go by one sighting, they fast by the sighting of the moon from any country, not necessarily Saudi Arabia or Mecca. And if they go by different sightings, then they go by the sighting of their own country. And this has been followed by the imams from the time of Ahmad rahimahullah, and the imams even before Ahmad, and at the time of the Tabi'in, the Sahaba, as Sheikh Ibn Baz rahimahullah pointed out in one of his answers around this issue. Also, the committee of the senior scholars of fatwa in Saudi Arabia take the opinion that each country goes by its own sighting. In any case, it's necessary to be united, as I said, and not to be divided, especially in non-Muslim countries. As for what people do here from following their own countries. This one follows Egypt because he's Egyptian. This one follows Saudi Arabia because he's a Saudi. This one follows Pakistan because he's a Pakistani. This is not permissible. It is haram. Point number 13. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, one of the signs of the Day of Judgment is the people sighting the moon and saying, it is 2 nights old when it's only 1 night old. For the largeness of the moon doesn't affect the correctness of sighting because it's from the signs of the end of time. This hadith was related by al-Bukhari in his book At-Tariq, and it is sahih. Number 14. It's not permissible to fast the day of doubt, which is the last day of Sha'ban. For the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not precede Ramadan by fasting the day or two before it, unless it is a day on which the person usually fasts. This hadith is related by Muslim. Ammar ibn Yasir said, whoever fasts the day of doubt has disobeyed Abu al-Qasim, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is related by al-Bukhari, al-Tirmidhi, and Abu Dawood, and it is sahih. Point number 15. If a person has some days to make up, and he fasted the day of doubt, there is no sin upon him. And it is necessary to note that one should make up the days missed from the previous Ramadan and do not wait to the last days of Sha'ban right before Ramadan. Point number 16. Whoever fasts in a country, then travels to another country, he has to follow them in breaking their fast if they announce Eid in the country he is staying at. Even if his country in which he started his fasting started Ramadan on a different day. So if the total days of his fasting were 29 days, then he has fasted the whole month of Ramadan. Even if his country that he started the fast in fasted 30 days. Point number 17. What if the total number of days of his fasting were 28? Does he break his fast with them? Yes. Then he makes up one day after that. Point number 18. What if the country he traveled to completed Ramadan 30 days and the country he started his fast in started a day before the country he is staying at? Does he fast with them 31 days? No. Secretly, he must break his fast on his 31st day, which is the 30th day for that country, because the month cannot be 28 or 31 days. So he breaks his fast secretly, then he celebrates Eid with them in the next day. Point number 19. The month of Ramadan is a respected and glorified month. So it is not permissible for the people who have an excuse to break their fast, such as a woman who is on her period, breastfeeding or pregnant, to do it publicly. It should be done in secret as respect for the month. Point number 20. Part of respecting the month of Ramadan is not to sell food or drink to Muslims during the day for them to eat from it publicly. Because if they were from the people who have an excuse for not fasting, then they should not eat or drink publicly. And if they are sinners, then it is not permissible for a Muslim to help another Muslim in committing his sin. But if he bought from you something and didn't appear that he wants to eat it, like for example, you having a grocery store and somebody purchased from your grocery store cans and some frozen food, something like that. In this case, you go by what appears to you and advise restaurant owners not to cook lunch or breakfast in the morning in the month of Ramadan to keep suspicion away. Rule number 21. It was related by al-Bukhari and Muslim that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam told Sinan that doing Umrah in Ramadan is equal to doing Hajj with him, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is one of the special quality of this month. Point number 22. The night of Al-Qadr, Laylatul Qadr, is in the month of Ramadan, and it is one of the specialties of this blessed month. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, إِنَّا أَنْزَلْنَاهُ فِي لَيْلَةِ الْقَدْرِ وَمَا أَدْرَاكَ مَا لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ لَيْلَةُ الْقَدْرِ خَيْرٌ مِنْ أَلْفِ شَهْرٍ تَنَزَّلُ الْمَلَائِكَةُ وَالرُّوحُ فِيهَا بِإِذْنِ رَبِّهِمْ مِنْ كُلِّ أَمْرٍ سَلَامٌ هِيَ حَتَّى مَطْلَعِ الْفَجْرِ. Verily we have sent the Quran down in the night of al-Qadr, al-Qadr decree. And what will make you know what the night of al-Qadr is? The night of al-Qadr is better than 1,000 months. 1,000 months, brothers and sisters. Worshipping Allah in that night is better than worshipping Him 1,000 months. That is 83 years and 4 months. Therein descend the angels and Ruh, Jibreel, by Allah's permission with all decrees. There is peace and goodness from Allah to His believing slaves until the appearance of dawn. So any act of worship done in this night, like doing that deeds for 1,000 months. So if one prays or does tasbih or gives charity on that night, it is as if he has done salat and tasbih and optional charity, sadaqah, for 1,000 months, which is equal to 83 years and 4 months. This is one of Allah's great blessing upon this ummah in this blessed month. Rule number 23. In which night of Ramadan is the night of Laylatul Qadr? There is difference in opinion between scholars about which night is Laylatul Qadr. Some say it is one of the night of Ramadan. Could be any night in Ramadan. And some say it is the 27th. Ibn Umar narrated that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "He who likes to seek the night of Laylatul Qadr should do so on the 27th. The hadith is related by Ahmad and Muslim. And Ubay ibn Ka'b swear by Allah that it is a night in Ramadan and that it is the 27th of Ramadan. Some are of the opinion that it is the 21st. Some say the 23rd. Others say the 25th. And still others say it is the 29th. And all these opinions adopted by the Prophet ﷺ companions. And you might ask, why this different of opinion happened among the Sahaba? And the answer for that will be clear if we know that Laylatul Qadr, it varies from year to year, as so many scholars said. But it always among the last 10 nights of Ramadan. And it has been related in Bukhari and Muslim that the Prophet ﷺ said, "Seek night of al-Qadr in the last 7 nights." So every Muslim should be more devoted to the last 10 nights of Ramadan more than any other nights. For it is in one of those nights. Rule number 24. Why did the Prophet ﷺ hide it from us? Or why didn't Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tell us in which night it is? The reason for that, brothers and sisters, is so the people won't abandon any of the nights of Ramadan. If it was confirmed to be the 27th, the people would neglect the other nights, like some people might do today. May Allah guide us and them. And know, my brothers and sisters, that the only ones who will be successful in that night are the ones who are sincere to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and strive in the whole month of Ramadan to be devoted in every night of Ramadan, and you will win on the night of Laylatul Qadr, inshallah. Point number 25. Does it have any signs this night? The answer, it has been related in Muslim. Its sign is that the sun rise in the morning, white and without any rays. And it is said to be in a clear, calm night, and it will be followed by a shower at the Fajr time. Rule number 26. Is it mustahab, recommended, to do a certain thing on that night? Yes, sure. It has been related in al-Bukhari and Muslim that the Prophet ﷺ said, "Whoever prays during the night of Al-Qadr, ليلة القدر with faith and hoping for its reward will have all of his previous sins forgiven. It was also narrated that Aisha radiallahu anha said, I asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, O Messenger of Allah, if I know what night is the night of Qadr, what should I say during it? He said, say, اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عني. اللهم إنك عفو تحب العفو فاعف عني. O Allah, you are pardoning and you love to pardon, so pardon me. It also recommended to do i'tikaf on that night, for the Prophet ﷺ did so, and to do more worship, charity, and supplications and dhikr. Point number 27. It will be the last point in this part of my topic today. Ramadan is a month with many specialties and virtues. Some of them are, Allah has sent the whole Quran in this month to Baytul Izzah in the first heaven, as narrated by Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu. The revelation to Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam started in this month. In this month, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sent to all mankind and jinn with the message of Islam. And it is Laylatul Qadr, which is better than 1,000 months. Also, rewards are multiplied in Ramadan. Related by Ibn Khuzaymah, the hadith is weak that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, whoever does an volunteer act of worship in Ramadan, it is like the reward of doing an obligatory worship in other months. And whoever does an obligatory worship in it will get the reward of 70 obligatory worships of other months. It was narrated also that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, two consecutive Ramadans are expiations for all that has happened during that period, provided that one has avoided the grave sins. And it's authentic hadith. Also, in every night, brothers and sisters, of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala saves a number of people from hellfire, from being punished, or touch, or to see the hellfire. In Ramadan, fasting was prescribed. And fasting is a great act of worship, as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, fast, for there is not equal to it. And fasting is one of the pillars of Islam. Brothers and sisters, in the last night of Ramadan, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala forgives the people who have fasted. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to help us know the rights of this blessed month, in which the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the blessed month has come to you. Allah has made fasting during it obligatory upon you. During it, the gates to paradise are opened, and the gates to hellfire are locked, and the devils are chained. During this month, there is a night which is better than 1,000 months. Whoever is deprived of its good is really deprived from something great. And with this, we conclude our first group of ruling and issues related to the month of Ramadan. And we proceed to the second group of rulings, which are related to the fasting of Ramadan.